through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Oh, just a couple more days until the NFL draft. We're getting you guys ready with a couple experts that are going to join us. NFL Network's Mark Ross is going to be joining us at noon. He has over two decades worth of experience as an NFL scout. He was a VP of player personnel and evaluation with the Giants for a while, and he's got a lot of really cool insight, not just into the day one storylines, but about that process as a whole. Fascinating stuff. And don't forget Mariners. We're still talking about them. Scott Service going to join us at 1:15 for his weekly Scott Service show. We're going to have Shannon Dreyer on with us, too. We have plenty to talk about, particularly with that lineup. Before we get to
And you have one particular question that I cannot wait to
hear. Oh, I have what I think is a very important question, and I can't wait for people to be like, that's not an important question, Stacey. And for me to be like, you know what? Actually, it is the most important question.
I think a lot of people are going to be very curious to hear what Scott's answer will be.
Here's the thing. Is it relevant? No. Is it important? Yes. And that's all I'll say about it. Before we get into any of that, though, obviously the Seahawks have a big decision to make on day two of the draft. Now, day one is going to be fun. Fun storylines, the biggest storylines, et cetera, et cetera. Seahawks, not involved day one. You sent your picks over to the New York Jets, and so you don't get a pick anymore. Now, you are picking at 56 overall day two. That's in the second round. What everyone is expecting them to do is trade back. Jake's expecting that. I'm expecting that. Curtis is expecting that. Your mom is expecting that. Everyone's expecting them to trade back. So this argument that we're going to have right now, it's not about what they should or what we think they're going to do. It's about what they should do. And Jake, you and I disagree on this one.
Yeah, because you know what they should do, Stacey, this year? You know what they should do?
I do know what they should do.
Then no, I don't think you do. Because what they should do in this year, in this year's draft, more than any other year, the Seahawks should use their second round pick at 56 and not trade back in this draft. That's what they should do. The Seahawks roster is nearly filled out, and they only have some key needs like the third receiver position, like the cornerback position. Defensive tackle, I think, is an area that they need to address. And those are areas that they need to compete to start. I think if you have a unique offensive lineman that falls into your lap, I think that that can be a selection as well that you could go with and could find a way to compete or start building towards the future. I think that's another one that could be a need for this team. But outside of those needs, their roster, Stacey, if you really look at it, is already built out for 2021 with proven veteran starters. The Seahawks need to select a quality impact player, Stacey. A quality impact player that will come in and compete for a starting job day one. Don't sacrifice potentially getting your guy for simply just more bites at the apple. Go look, Stacey, go look at the Seahawks draft history since 2013. Only 5 out of the 40 selections in day 3. So I'm talking day 3, I'm talking 4th round through 7th round, because that's what you would be getting if you trade back. You're not going to get multiple second rounders. You're already in the late second round. You're not going to get multiple thirds. You're going to trade back and get a third and maybe an extra day 3 pick, okay? They have only had 5 out of 40 turn into consistent starters for the Seahawks. I'm not even talking about high quality, high caliber level starters. I'm talking about consistent starters for the Seahawks. And you know what? When you look at the second round, the Seahawks have been relatively good in the second round. Their percentage of quality, consistent starters is a lot higher, and I think that that's the route that they should be taking.
Now, I don't think the draft is a total toss-up. People try to make it seem like, a second rounder has an equal chance, or a first rounder has an equal chance to be as good as a seventh rounder. No, there's a reason that Tom Brady's story of becoming what he was from a sixth round pick is such a premier story that people always point to, is because it's so exceptionally rare. There's a reason we always point to Chris Carson and say, oh, he was the seventh rounder. What a cool story. Because it's not very common for a seventh rounder to become a multi-time 1,000-yard rusher or a franchise player in any way. It happens. But here's the thing. I do think that those 1- and 2-day picks are not guaranteed. They are not guaranteed. And given some of the misses that the Seahawks have made with some of those early picks, I'm talking Malik McDowell. I'm talking Rashad Penny, who hasn't worked out yet. I'm talking Leno Hill was a day two guy. Nas Jones was a day two guy. Need I remind you of maybe the worst day one guy, Aaron Curry. I didn't need to tell you about that. You already knew it before I said it. Sorry to open up some old wounds. I know that was a while ago, but those picks, every team has them. Every team has made a gamble on a player that everyone thought would work out that didn't work out on day one or day two. And with just 3 picks, I don't think you can afford that gamble this year. I think this is a year that you need to take more bites at the apple, and then you go into next year with your pick. Then why?
No,
why not,
no,
Jake?
Stacey.
Jake,
look,
you're
second
telling
round,
me that with 3 picks, you think the Seahawks are... I know that you don't think they're going to make 3 picks. You are fine with them making 3 picks.
I would rather them trade back their 4th-round selection for more opportunities in the 5th, 6th, 7th round than I would for them to trade back with their 2nd-round pick, because right now their late-round pick at 56 is not going to carry a lot of value for them to get a trade in massive return or get a massive haul for them that makes it worthwhile, in my opinion. You're not going to get you're not going to get 2 3rd-round picks in this draft for that selection. So I think that when you're in this situation, given the fact that this roster, I would feel differently if you needed more bodies to come in and compete for starting jobs, but their roster is pretty filled out.
It's not.
There's only very specific needs there is.
What about cornerback? Who do you have that's guaranteed to be on your team next year at cornerback?
Stacey, that's one of the positions that I am talking about. The cornerback is one. Third receiver is another that you could potentially look at. Defensive tackle is another. But that defensive tackle is to come in and be a good quality rotational player with Puna Ford. Outside of that, there's not a ton of competition across this roster. And so with the opportunity to address corner or address the third receiver position with someone that is truly dynamic and someone that you have targeted on your board and said, we love this guy. We don't want to lose out on him. I think that is the opportunity that you have in front of you with pick 56. You know who they were able to select late in the 2nd round?
Christian Michael.
DK Metcalf. No, Christian Michael was actually pretty high in the 2nd round, unfortunately. But they've been more successful, post 2013. Paul Richardson, Justin Britt, Frank Clark, Tyler Lockett, Jaron Reed. You look at Ethan Posick eventually ends up becoming a starter for you. So in recent drafts, DK Metcalf, Marquise Blair, if he could stay healthy. We don't know about Daryl Taylor and obviously Jordan Brooks was a late first. But I think that there's better quality talent in the 2nd round here for them to really take a player that I think can make a true impact. And so I think that when you look at this situation, I don't want to have more bites of the apple. Like I said, the percentages of taking more bites of the apple has not necessarily paid dividends for you when it comes to day 3 and looking for starters in day 3. I know the days of 2011 and 2012 and 2010, but we haven't had that same type of success in over 7 years. So we're gonna go 7+ years and go back to history and say, well, they did it before, they can do it again. Yeah, sure, but it is, the percentages are not high for you, and I think that it is higher with that 56 pick in the 2nd round.
I mean, you can even look at last year: Alton Robinson, 5th round pick; Freddie Swain, 6th round pick. Freddie Swain, they reportedly want to make their wide receiver 3, and Alton Robinson played more snaps and did pretty well compared to Daryl Taylor, who was a 2nd round pick that they almost took in the 1st round. I mean, I think that's a recent example of guys in later picks working out for you. Again, I cannot stress this enough. Your odds of drafting a Pro Bowler, of drafting an All-Pro, of drafting a regular starter is higher in early rounds, most especially in the 1st round. That does not make it guaranteed. In almost any other year, I would say take the player that you feel is the best fit for you, that you feel you do not want to pass on, and you're going to be staying up at night thinking about how you should have drafted him if you trade back. Take that player. In a year with 3 picks, that gamble feels like it's not worth it.
I would disagree. I think it is worth it because what is the gamble, Stacey? You're actually taking a greater gamble with more bites at the apple at day three. I just gave you 5 out of 40. You like those odds? You like those percentages of finding a good quality starter? Stacey, you had just mentioned corner, needing a corner as a starter. Day one, you're going to look for a starting corner in the 4th through 7th round of this year's draft. You're going to bank on that.
No, I'm going to be looking for a guy that's actually going to be here under roster for the next couple years for cheap.
And I think that's great. But at some point, you need to find starters. At some point, you need to do more than just find guys that are going to be on the roster.
I'm okay finding a starter in 2022.
How's Ben Burkervin? This is not a shot at him because he's been a great special teams player, but has he competed to start? Cody Barton, he played his rookie year, but I don't see anybody pounding the table really hard for Cody Barton to be your starting outside linebacker. I see a lot of people that are still wanting KJ right back. So my point is that I think it's great to build and plan with those things in mind. But when you're talking about your Super Bowl windows and those things, you have to not only think of future years, but you also have to think of the now. You have to think of the present. And I think that that's what this second round pick at 56 can do for you. I think it can be a quality impact player that can make a difference, not just now in 2021, but over the next 4 years.
Yes, I want to get an impact player. And I think that in part, you're starving for that because the Seahawks have had draft misses. You, fans are starving for that because when you look at a lot of the picks, you see, oh my gosh, that didn't work out. That didn't work out. That didn't work out. Leno Hill. The entire draft where they tried to replace the secondary, none of it worked out. Mike Tyson, Tedrick Thompson, Shaquille Griffin, and Leno Hill. I'm looking at this entire pick right now. Two day two guys, two day three guys. It didn't work out for you. That said, I don't just want to draft for this season because you get yourself in trouble when you only focus on the now. You have to focus on a couple years down the road. And this is going to be a draft, in my mind, where you have to make it not as fun. It's not where you get your, unless you see a player that falls to you somehow at 56. Like he was a projected first rounder. No one knows why he fell to you. It makes no sense. And you feel like there aren't red flags that would forever alter your decision to take him or whatever. Yeah, take him. But if there's just a guy where you're like, we got a second or third round grade on him. We're going to be fine if another team takes him, even though we really like him. Why not just add more guys and then take those shots next year?
I think that with this taking more shots next year, I think is great because you have the opportunity to take more shots in the sense that you have more draft capital. I think that you're heading into this year with only 3 picks. And with these 3 picks, you can go after more bites at the apple, quote unquote, or you can stay with, again, you could move your 4th round pick. I'm not as tight and held on to that 4th round pick. I'm okay if they end up moving that for a 5th and a 6th or a 5th and a 7th.
But you would get the most draft capital with that 2nd round pick. That's where it comes from. The 4th gets you nothing. The 2nd round pick could net you like 2-3 more picks, depending on how late they are.
It cannot
get you
3.
If you go late.
It can get you 2.
If you keep trading back.
But it can't get you 3.
John Schneider turned 4 picks. Plus, obviously, the first rounder that he got in the trade for Frank Clark into how many? 8?
Yeah, but he had 2 firsts to work with.
He used one of the first rounders.
He did, but he used multiple selections early on to garner some of those picks later on. And I think, and right now, this 56 pick does not carry that much value to get that much draft capital back. And again, if they were to continue to keep trading back and having more bites of the apple on day 3. As I said to you before, the percentages are extremely low. 5 out of 40 over since 2013 that have proven to be consistent starters for you over the course of that time. The percentages are extremely low, and the higher percentage is that 2nd round pick that can be a quality proven starter for you, an impact player. They've been very successful overall in that round. And I think this year with the roster already being constructed and having a couple of key additions at a couple of key spots, I think can really make a difference. If you can find a good quality starter, a potential star at the 3rd receiver position or the cornerback position, I think it puts your team in a very, very dynamic position to really, truly compete at a high level.
All right, this hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. It's 11:15. That means it's time for 3 questions brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Question number one, who in your opinion is the safest pick in this year's draft?
The safest pick in this year's draft? Ooh, man. This is a really tough one because I think that there's a lot of players that get pegged as the safest pick. Trevor Lawrence, for example, the clear-cut number one pick in this draft. Is he the safest choice? I think that there is a strong argument for him to have that be the case, but I think that the prospect to me that is the surest prospect in this draft, in my opinion, is Penei Sewell out of Oregon. I think that the 6'5", 325-pound left tackle is so athletic and dynamic at that position. I think he is the surest thing in this draft. I will not be surprised to see that guy be a future All-Pro for many, many years.
I think it's got to be Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's a really boring answer, but I think the right answer. Oh, safest pick. I was reading an article in The Athletic related to Jake's answer that was talking about linemen and how sometimes they can be the best picks for you. The offensive linemen from 2008 to 2018, the greatest majority of players by position that worked out were offensive linemen. So they were like, that's your safest bet for a first round. I don't know about any of the offensive linemen in particular in this year's draft, but that's just the pattern that they found. And then they found that the biggest issue was with defensive backs. And obviously, no one's really taking running backs as often. So I would say those are the unsafe ones. But yeah, boring answer is also the safest one and the right one, I think, here. It's Trevor Lawrence.
Number two.
Mariners offense struggling a little bit, at least in the back half. So my question to you guys is, which Mariners prospect do you think we'll see first in 2021? Three options here. Jarrett Kelenic, Logan Gilbert, or Cal Raleigh.
Cal Raleigh, Curtis, I know why you put him on here.
Why is that, Jake?
Because Tom Murphy and Luis Torrens are not getting
it done for you. That's exactly why this, I put him on
here. But also, that's the right answer.
This is out of spite. I don't necessarily think it is the right answer, though. I don't. I think Cal Raleigh, if you're going to make the argument that Jarrett Kelenic is delayed in his return, and you see someone like Cal Raleigh, who's a good player that this organization, this club, really is high on and thinks that he can be the future catcher for this team. If he comes up before Jarrett Kelenic, that will have me worried. That will truly have me worried because what we have heard, what we have talked about Jarrett Kelenic's process, I think has been pretty clear-cut. And the expectation is that he will be up at the end of May, sometime in June. And if Cal Raleigh is up before him, I think that that means that Jarrett Kelenic is delayed in his process to return. I just don't see Cal Raleigh jumping the gun before Jarrett Kelenic. Kelenic is going to be the first guy up.
I think the prospect that you're going to see first in 2021, Curtis and Jake, is the future face of your franchise. And that's Cal Raleigh.
What?
Get out of here.
No, I do think it'll be him, though. But yeah,
you do,
I can't.
You do think it'll be
I am most excited to see, in order, Kelenic, Gilbert, Raleigh. I can't say Raleigh. I really can't make my mouth do it.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wow, you really can't do
Cal
it.
Cal Raleigh.
It's not Raleigh. It's Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
Cal,
you go.
Cal, I think, is going to be maybe the next guy we see.
Well, no matter how you say it, Cal Raleigh has getting some pretty rave reviews right now down in Arizona.
Bam.
So there's a very real possibility.
Bam, bam,
he could
thank
be
you,
up.
Ma'am.
Number three.
We finally hear from Pete Carroll and John Schneider after basically an entire winter. So what is the one thing above all else you want to hear from those guys tomorrow?
The one thing above all else, man, one, I want to know how everything's going with Jamal Adams. That's first and foremost. How everything's progressing with Jamal Adams. Do they feel good that the conversations are going well? And then I think it would be fantastic if there was some comment that was made by Pete Carroll or John Schneider that just just put a lot of this conversation just to bed. Just don't let us pull anything. Don't let us pull something out of nothing in terms of the Russell Wilson conversation. Russ is our guy, or hey, we've had conversations with Russ. We're on the same page. Virtual meetings are going great. We're dialed in together. Whatever, however Pete wants to say it or how he wants to phrase it. But just let us all feel good that everybody's on the same page and we're all moving forward and working towards the same thing.
Oh, I'll make something out of nothing all day long with these two. I'm going to look for everything they do and don't say. And obviously, I'm most curious to see what they're going to say about Russell Wilson, or importantly, what they won't say. I can guarantee you the three words Russell Wilson wants to hear: he's our guy. I promise you. I don't even know him, and I promise you that's what he wants to hear, because that's what any quarterback wants to hear. And when you think about it, that's what any one of us would want to hear. We want to hear that we're valued. People like feeling valued and like feeling wanted, including franchise millionaire quarterbacks. I think that that's all he's wanted from this organization. And look, like, you can make all the critiques you want about what Russell Wilson said and who he is as a player, and I've done it before. But I think that's what he's going to be listening for. Curtis, what do you most want to hear?
Just want to hear, we like this guy's style. Just a lot of good, fun things.
I want to hear how they're doing, personally.
Yeah. Pete's making a turn. Just all the fun stuff that gives us zero insight as to what's going on.
If you could give them a truth serum and ask them one question, what would it be?
Oh, if I could give a truth
if
serum?
If you could have guaranteed the
truth
answer,
serum.
Not dancing around it, the answer to something, what
I think
would
this
be?
I think this is easy. Truth serum to John Schneider,
yeah.
Which he might give it to you anyway, so okay. We'll see. We'll see. But he wouldn't say this. But the truth serum, John Schneider, how close were you? How serious were you down the road in the trade conversation? That's what I would, if you could give any answer to any question, I think that's the question everybody would want to know.
Curtis.
Yeah, who on the Bears roster would have made a deal happen? Would it have been Khalil Mack? Is that somebody that, instead of the guys who Chicago ended up releasing, what was it, Kyle Fuller and some other no-name guy, like, would there have been somebody on that roster that would have put that trade over the top?
You guys took my number one answer. My number two answer would have been Pete going back in time. Walk me through the entire decision and thought process and who made the call and everything behind Super Bowl 49.
Oh.
Number three would have been Pete, I want you to be honest. And John, I want you to be honest. John, do you make your own jeans destroyed denim? And Pete, do you wear a bronzer? He's glowing. He's glowing. He's glowing skin.
I thought you were going to ask them, do you know who I am? I mean,
they'd be like, no, it's the Jake and Stephanie show. It's like, I listen every day. You got it, Tracy.
The 425 also has a great question here. What happened to Thomas Rawls? Yes, that would be a great
but
question.
But here's the thing. I don't think
answer.
That they know. And I don't know if Thomas Rawls knows. To me, it was mental.
I think they got an idea. I think they got
really?
An idea what happened to Thomas Rawls. Oh, yes.
That
oh,
really is.
Yes.
I really thought when Thomas Rawls was out there that we were seeing Marshawn Lynch 2.0. He ran, not ran just like him, but he had such a like bulldozer quality, was leading the league in yards per carry. It was just an insane rookie season. All right, Mike Salk joins us next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
We have a fun little game that your girl invented. We're playing it in two rounds. First round coming up in about 15 minutes. You're going to really, really like it, and you can participate texting in 710-710. Before we get to that, though, we're bringing on Mike Salk, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, I think all of us are expecting the Seahawks to trade back, so I don't want to hear what you think they will do, but rather what they should do. Do you think that they should stay put at 56 or trade back?
All right, hold on. Before I answer that, I have to be very honest about something.
Yes.
I may be under attack. I'm outside. I'm visiting some people in the Bay Area.
Okay.
I'm in Sacramento, and I stepped outside to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I got outside, there is a turkey
what?
No more than 20 feet from me, and it's staring at me and kind of walking towards
Big
me.
Pardon?
Oh, boy.
How tall is the turkey, Mike?
Well, when it stood up, I thought it was a person at first. Oh, my God.
We're talking 5'4", 5'2".
Are we all gonna listen to Salk's demise here live on sports radio?
We're gonna replay it in slow motion to make it a highlight.
It's a good thing our PD Kyle's not here. Kyle's terrified of birds, and this thing is it's coming at me.
Kyle's terrified of birds. First of all, Kyle's terrified of birds because he's like 7'5". I don't know why he'd be terrified of a ground bird, though. Ground fowl, because he's so much taller than them. It's different. He doesn't have to dodge them out of the sky.
Aren't they supposed to be afraid of me? It's getting closer.
Well, you just need to keep walking or maybe make yourself look bigger or something, like flap your arms.
I'm flapping my wings at it, and it seems to be walking away.
Okay, well, let us know if you get to an unsafe, kind
That's
of situation.
Show off your dominance.
Feel free to hang up and call the cops, Mike.
Gobble, gobble, turkey.
Stacey, the Seahawks will trade back, obviously, because they can't not trade back. They need more picks. Should they? Yeah, probably. I hope they don't trade back too far, but I think they've got to do what they can to bring more picks to the equation. Look, the draft's about hope, right? That we talked about that today in Brock and Salk podcast. Why do people love the draft so much? It's an opportunity for your team to get better, to be hopeful about what is in their future. So they need to bring in more than just three or four bodies this week. So you probably need to trade back. Usually the difference between that middle of the second round and into the third round is not that substantial. So I would expect them to trade back and allow John Schneider as many opportunities to take a bite of that apple as possible.
Now, Salk, I made a strong argument that I understand the idea of more bites at the apple, the actual execution of it. Post-2013, only 5 out of 40 selections have turned into consistent starters, where that percentage is a lot higher of good quality consistent starters that have come from the second round. And when you only, you look at this roster, it's pretty filled out with proven veteran starters outside of a couple, specific needs. Could this be the year where you could make the argument that, look, this second round, you shouldn't do anything with it?
You could convince me of that. Absolutely. I think that's a really well-stated and well-thought-out point. I don't think they'll do that just based on their track record history and the way John seems to approach the draft. But I don't think you're wrong at all. I think there's a really good way of looking at it. What I've been forced to do is really just keep reminding myself that, this draft is about Jamal Adams. And why don't you have these picks this year? Why are you? Well, because of Jamal Adams and because of Carlos Dunlap, because of Gabe Jackson. You've given up quite a bit of your draft in order to have some of that veteran talent, but it starts with Jamal. So where's Jamal? Like, is this deal going to get done? Are they going to sign this guy? And that's the thing that just hangs out there for me and is my only real issue with watching this weekend is I want to know that this thing is going to get done with Jamal Adams.
Do you have an internal clock for that deal where you start to panic?
Panic? No, but I don't know. It feels like something that, I hope this isn't something that now goes into training camp. I don't want to see him holding out. I just want that thing done because you've invested so much of your capital into this. And if it's not going to get done, don't you have to know that now? Right? If you're not going to get done, don't you need to deal him and try to get picks back in this draft? Right? In order to make up the difference there. So I don't know. I guess I thought it would get done by the draft, and the fact that it's not done yet, I'm sure that it's more of a timing element, right? Where, hey, right now, John and his staff are working on the draft. They don't have time to be working on Jamal Adams. They got to be working on the draft. But gosh, I would feel a whole lot better if that was done.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you, and I have to imagine that with them, this is a signal of confidence that they feel like they can get this done, because the typical fashion of what they've done with their superstars is they have gotten those deals done over the course of the summer. And you're right, this would be the ideal time to know whether it's going to work out or it's not going to work out. This is really your last shot to get something of actual decent value back in return of what, the haul that you gave up for him before. So I definitely agree with you, but I do think it's kind of the signal of the point of no return for the Seahawks in terms of wanting and getting this deal done with Jamal Adams.
Well, and then, what are we going to get from Jamal Adams over the next couple of years? It's pretty darn important as well. What I need to see are turnovers. Jamal Adams, to me, the sacks are great. That means being safe with the ball yourself and finding a way to get it from the other team. I don't know exactly how to do that, but my strong hunch is that it really starts with your ability to generate pressure up front and force the other team, specifically the quarterback, to make mistakes.
He is Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30 right here on Jake and Stacey. He's also part of the Brock and Salk podcast. New episode drops tonight, brockandsalkpodcast.com. Go download it, get you guys ready for the draft coming up later this week. Also, Mike, someone texting in from Sacramento, it's a Sacramento area code, saying that they have wild turkeys all over the place and they won't hurt you.
No
so.
Kidding.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe you're safe, maybe you're not. I think you should take some video evidence just in case.
I took a picture of the turkey, which I will send to you, and it seems to have turned tail and hid.
Okay,
so obviously
sure.
I intimidated that thing with my large
It's a trap.
Fan.
It's a trap. Mike, yeah. If this is the last time we talk to you because that turkey's about to end things, I guess it's been fun. I don't know. I mean, have a good day.
Good luck. Good luck, everybody. See ya.
Bye, Mike.
Gobble, gobble, turkey.
Maybe forever. All right. I have an awesome game. In fact, we're going to have – Jake's not going to be excited about this. Maybe he will. Draft is going to be tomorrow, a trivia game getting you ready for the NFL draft. Today, we're going to be spinning the draft need wheel. So we're going to be doing offense right now at 11:45, and then we're going to be doing defense later in the show. That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Mike Salk just sent us a picture of the wild turkey out in the backyard, and I can confirm me and the turkey have the same inseam. Like, this turkey's legs are much too tall for a bird. Like, it is at least 4 feet tall, I think, looking at it. Right? Back me up, Jake.
Did you say 4 feet tall?
Yeah.
No.
That thing's like 2.5 feet tall.
I'm talking top of the head to the ground.
Yeah, that's like two and... I agree with Curtis. It's like 2.5 feet. 4 feet?
Maybe larger than that. I mean, it's part dinosaur. We are spinning the draft need wheel, so we're going to go with offense right now. Here's how it works. Curtis is going to randomly assign me and Jake, we're going to take turns, he's going to spin the wheel, a position group on offense. Regardless of whether or not Jake think we should actually, or think the Seahawks should actually draft, for instance, a running back, we have to make the argument as to why they should. Are you ready, Jake?
I'm ready. I am... fully ready.
Here
now,
we go.
I don't know if you are. I don't know if you are. How are you gonna explain a quarterback at pick 56?
Oh,
that's what I
want to
see.
Ready and prepared because the preparation is in the whatever. I don't know. Because spin the wheel, Curtis.
Separation's in the preparation.
Got a good spin going here.
Really, you have a strong arm.
Curtis. I mean,
we
my
show
goodness.
That off at our quarterback camp.
Oh man.
Someone needs to get tested here. It's still going?
There we go.
Goodness.
Stacey, the prize wheel for you has landed on wide receiver.
Not a problem, because here's the thing. You guys cannot overlook the loss of David Moore. It was very easy for him to be overshadowed by DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett because they both had 1,000-plus yards. Now, Lockett and Metcalf are going to get the lion's share of the targets in 2021, but there's very little tested depth behind him. Freddie Swain had a promising rookie year and offers a speedy option in the slot, but there's also a few tempting prospects at 56 overall. This one's easy because I also agree that it is an area of need, and I would not mind seeing them take a receiver at 56. So it's an easy one here. What I'll say is that they need to replace David Moore. It is an overlooked free agent loss, and I am all for this pick.
Okay. All right. I like it. Very, very thorough.
I think you
convinced me. Maybe you convinced John Schneider to take a receiver at 3. I would love that. By the way.
Okay.
All right, Curtis.
Next spin.
Take your insanely strong spin.
Here we go.
Really, too.
Winding it up.
All right. It's like, really, like, do you lift?
Yeah. I only spin wheels as my form of exercise. You see me at a carnival.
No,
you see me coming to your booth at a carnival.
Woo!
Watch out.
Start taking that giant stuffed animal down.
Be careful, Puyallup Fair.
Yeah, Jake, the prize wheel has landed on offensive line.
Offensive line. Ooh, you're making this easy on me. Now, offensive line, I think there's two different approaches that you can take in this draft. Number one, you can look at what you've done on your offensive line this year and say, hey, we feel really good about what we were able to do. We obviously have the staple of Dwayne Brown at left tackle. We were able to make the addition of Gabe Jackson. We feel like we have a future all-pro type of caliber right guard. And Brandon Schell in year one was very, very good and very serviceable for what we wanted. He was an upgrade over Jermaine Ifedi. Now, what you now have a decision to make is how much do you truly believe that Ethan Posick is going to be a good quality starter for you throughout the remainder of the year? The first 5 to 6 games, Ethan Posick played pretty well. From that point forward, Ethan Posick had injury, a concussion. After that, he really struggled to be consistent in the second half of the year when the quality of play, the opposing quality of play on the defensive line, particularly in the interior, elevated. And so I think if you feel like you want to add great competition, you feel like you can add a starter to this group, I think that you've got a great chance in doing that with a couple intriguing center prospects, guys like Creed Humphrey, who I don't know if will be there, but Creed Humphrey to me is a guy that is a day one starter center in the NFL. The guy that I've fallen in love with, Quinn Meinertz out of Wisconsin Whitewater, I think he would be a fantastic fit here at the center position, and an outlier would be Landon Dickerson out of Alabama. He has the size, has the background at the center position, but is a guy that I think has a lot of injury history, and you would be taking a risk. The other decision, Stacey, that you could make really quick is knowing that Dwayne Brown, at this stage, 36 years old, not sure how much longer he's going to continue to play. Do you make a selection, a offensive tackle here that allows you to sit this player for a year, have a rookie sit and develop behind Dwayne Brown, and then you have a great option to have him either go to a swing right tackle or he plays left tackle if Dwayne Brown decided to move on. So I think there's two options there at the offensive line position.
Love that one. Love the options. We probably have time for two more spins. Let's go.
Well, seeing as how hard I spin,
maybe only one.
Curtis, relax, man.
Please.
Look, when you get a chance to show off the spin to all passersby, you take that opportunity. Since we're up against the clock, here's the last one. It's going to both of you. Quarterback.
Yeah.
I want
chaos. I was hoping it wouldn't be running
sicko.
Back.
Wow.
Number one reason, drama. You know what I'll say is this. Here's what I'll say. You do want a long-term backup option for Wilson if you decide to keep him. Geno Smith, under presumably a one-year deal, you just keep having this kind of, you know, roulette wheel of guys that you're cycling through to be your backup. Even if you stick with Wilson, you still want someone that's cheap, that's under contract, and that can play should Wilson ever, knock on wood, I'm doing it now, miss a game. If you trade Wilson, drafting at 56 overall maybe gives you a better shot at a guy than would drafting a quarterback later than that. So that's my best bet.
Okay.
Jake.
I think you'd be sparking a lot of controversy here. Now, you could paint it as a developmental piece, but I think that if you're talking about wanting to hear the words of Pete Carroll and John Schneider kind of diffuse the situation, make everybody feel good, I think this would spark a whole different kind of conversation after this draft and only having three selections, taking your early pick on a quarterback. But if there was one guy that could potentially be around at that point, and I think he'll be an early second-round pick, it would be Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M. I think that out of all the quarterbacks that will be selected, Kellen Mond will be the one guy that is left that I think has the athletic ability that could represent what Russell Wilson brings to the table. Not the same, but could represent that same level of ability. And Kellen Mond has become a name that across NFL circles that has generated a lot of buzz and a lot of excitement. So I think Kellen Mond is definitely a name to keep an eye on in the late first round, early second round.
All right. An NFL player is getting some conspiracy theories. That's coming up at 12:30. We've also, we're going to be spinning the draft need wheel again, this time for defense in a little under an hour from now. Next, though, we are getting you guys ready for the draft with NFL Network analyst Mark Ross, coming your way on Jake and Stacey.